Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the Gate 2Q15 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star 1 on your telephone. I must advise you this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, the 4th of August 2015. I would like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Director of Investor Relations, Roger Ng. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, morning, everyone. Good evening to those calling in from the U.S. Welcome to Global A&T Electronics, a subsidiary of UTEC Holdings' second quarter 15 earnings call. As you are aware, we filed our press release as our 10Q financials on SGX, and some of you, and for those on our mailing list, you should have gotten a copy of the financials by now. Otherwise, a copy of our financials are available on the website. Okay, today on our call with us, we have our CEO, Dr. John Nelson, our CFO, Mr. Douglas Devine. The format of the presentation will be Douglas will start off with a commentary on Gate's second quarter results, outlook for the next quarter, followed by John, our CEO, will be giving another commentary on the business overall. Okay, I think without further ado, I'll hand over to Douglas. Douglas?
Thank you, Roger. So, Gate announced a revenue of $166.8 million for the second quarter of 2015. That revenue was below our guidance range, which we had given as $172 to $182 million. And lower than our Q2 14 revenue, on a year-on-year basis of 184.8. Revenue was lower than expectation due to market softness, particularly in the end markets, looking at communications, consumer, and communications. In addition, our fabless customers, in particular, were down more significantly in Q2. And inventory levels, as you can see from all of our customers who have already done their own earnings releases, inventory levels remain a bit elevated to the tune of 15 to 20 days above most people's models, which continues to be a bit of a drag. When you compare the we saw a little bit of a different direction here in Q2 across our customers. We peaked at just shy of $200 million in Gate in Q3. In Q4 and Q1 15, our customers with internal manufacturing capacity, the IDMs, took us down to a larger percentage than the fabless customers did. But overall, the IDMs have managed their inventory a bit tighter than the fabless customers, or the fabless segments of the market. And so Q2 was much more, the IDMs remained pretty strong. And the fabless customers were where we saw the more significant reductions as they worked through their inventory transitions. Now, an overall comment and a little bit of detail. So as you're probably all aware, the parent of Gate, UTEC Holdings, filed its initial F-1 prospectus to as part of an IPO process in the United States. As a result, we've had to scale back the information in this earnings release a bit. As you know, it was already scaled back, but it's been scaled back a bit further, and it creates quite a bit of restriction on what we can and cannot talk about. So I'm going to give an update on the IPO status now, and just preemptively informing you that this is really all we can say about our IPO process at this point. I know it's a hot question on people's minds. So due to the filing, we are required to limit our guidance to only Q3 15. And also, contrary to how we've done the last couple of quarters, we're not allowed to give you the UTEC Holdings level revenue and cash balance for the current quarter just completed, i.e. Q2. We will definitely share that Panasonic Q2 15 revenue was consistent with Gate revenue overall, and that they're seeing the same inventory correction trends that that are common across the semiconductor market. So UTEC filed its initial prospectus, which covered up through December Q4 of 2014. I believe we filed it July 16th in the U.S. That prospectus is available. The company is not allowed to send the prospectus out, but it's very easily searchable on the SEC website. The company is planning to file a second prospectus, which will update the financials, likely through Q2 15, although that can always you can always see some changes to that. That would happen in a couple of months. We have not established any timelines for an IPO at this point, and the company is not going to begin marketing activities, i.e. meeting with investors, potential IPO investors, until after a second prospectus is filed, which will be key to establishing the real timelines. So we will promptly let you know when we formulate plans regarding IPO timelines, et cetera. The one piece that we'd share with you is that it is very, not impossible, but very unlikely that you'd see the IPO occur in 2015. So as with that, that's really all we can share about the potential IPO plans for the company at this point. We will share more promptly as it becomes appropriate as we move forward in time. So now, circling back to Gate. Gate reported Q2 gross margin of 14.1%. This was down from 17.1% in Q1 and was below our guidance range of 16 to 18%. There's two reasons that the gross margin is below our guidance expectation. The first one, obviously, is that there's quite a bit of leverage in our business with volume, and the volumes were consistent with the revenue miss. You see that flow through to the earnings miss. I think the second point is that we had planned our resource levels to a number that was much more consistent with our guidance, probably even closer to the upper end of our guidance range. The core Q2, as has been the case this year, Q2 really didn't follow a typical pattern. In particular, we saw June. Actually, June was a bit weaker. Usually, June is the strongest month, and so we had limited ability to react. And when we talk about the Q3 guidance, I'll talk a little bit about what we're doing to manage through the current climate. A few other things. Gate began implementing its new headquarters structure, which is a transfer pricing structure, in Q2. The full benefits of this scheme are going to take several quarters to recognize, but the key thing you see that in Q2, we moved most of the company's IP from the sites up to the new corporate headquarters entity, and that did result in a little bit of a spike in the tax rate for Q2, which was all due to capital gains on the movement of intellectual property. I mean, in the total numbers you see in the earnings release is $3.6 million in taxes. So it was a couple of million that we incurred in capital gains taxes from moving IP up to the parent. The other key thing is that Gate booked a $3 million provision in related to a Tessera royalty claim at the Singapore site. Tessera's actual claim was $6 million. Gate is disputing and appealing the claim, and in our judgment, $3 million is a sufficient provision to cover the potential exposure. The company certainly hopes that we can drive it lower. The company is in discussions with Tessera on two fronts. One is in Taiwan, where we currently have a $2 million provision booked, which has been booked since 2013. So this is unrelated to the Taiwan situation. This relates to a separate Tessera license we have with Tessera in Singapore. Moving on, as we had discussed in the last earnings call, but just giving you the final confirmation, when we did the acquisition of the Panasonic factories, Gate had loaned $11 million to the UTAC parent to help finance some of the initial acquisition costs. That loan has been repaid in full. It was repaid in full at the end of April, along with the interest, which was set at 10.5%. So the total amount that was repaid to Gate was $12.2 million. Now, moving on, our Q2 15 CapEx was down slightly from the Q1 level at $24 million, bringing our first half 15 CapEx to revenue to 17.3%. We believe that the second half CapEx to revenue will be similar, so view that as kind of plus or minus a point. Our CapEx spending, as most of you are familiar with, is committed well in advance of the actual spend. So we are actively reviewing and reprioritizing our capital spending. But as you look at things in the midterm time frame, there's fairly limited ability to move the CapEx in that kind of midterm range, talking kind of next 6 months type of range. So now looking forward to Q3 with some guidance. We do expect that the current market conditions in Q2 to continue and are forecasting that our Q3 revenue will be down between 1 and 8%, a little bit wider than the range we've given you in the past. We believe in the current market condition, and we also believe that the current market conditions are likely to extend at least until Q4. We do believe the inventory overhang will probably clean itself up a bit in Q3. But overall, we're not, we don't have the best visibility in the market, but just setting a little expectation, we're not seeing that not seeing that Q4 is going to be a 180-degree change in vector from where Q3 and Q2 have been. In terms of gross margin, we're guiding gross margin at 12 to 15% for Q3, with a performance of that within that 12 to 15% range is going to be very heavily impacted by where we land within that revenue range. We've implemented quite a bit of cost reductions in Q3 in response to the current market conditions. So we do believe we've taken a couple of points of gross margin worth of cost out. Now, unfortunately, we are going to see some negative mix impacts, based on our current visibility in Q3. So gross margin is probably, our cost reductions are going to be offset by likely 1 to 1.5 points of negative mix impact. Our mix has been pretty stable so far. There really wasn't any mix impact in Q2 versus Q1. In general, MSLP test and analog are our higher gross margin businesses, and MSLP assembly and memory are our lower gross margin businesses. So we're seeing stronger performance in the lower gross margin businesses and a little bit weaker revenue performance in the higher gross margin businesses in Q3 to give us a little bit of a headwind, which is going to offset some but not all of the cost reductions we put in place in relation to the current market conditions. In terms of cash balances, we're making the next bond coupon payment at the end, or it was made at the end of July, so already made. That is going to drive the Q3 cash balances down significantly. Cash flow from operations less CapEx is going to be near neutral to slightly positive in Q3. Definitely see that we tried to manage our cash balances pretty tightly in Q2 and did see an uptick that we were fairly happy with in the cash balance in Q2. The final point before I'll hand over, we are investigating but have not made any decisions yet on a couple of real estate transactions to potentially shore up the company's liquidity and cash balances if we feel it appropriate. Gate has real estate holdings between Singapore, Thailand, and Taiwan of a little north of $175 million U.S., which could be monetized through sale and leaseback transactions. And then there's additional real estate holdings in UMS. Real estate price appreciation, the majority of this amount is not on our balance sheet today, since most of these properties were bought a decade or more in the past. So in particular, if and when we move forward, we would probably move forward on our larger Gate-owned Singapore building, which could be could be completed within 6 months and has a value, has a market value of 100 million Sing dollar plus or minus 5 million Sing dollar, or you know, or roughly $80 million, $78-80 million United States. And then, just as a reference, that building is on the books for about $25 million. So, so its actual market value is quite a bit above. So, as I said, you know, we're looking at this. You know, at this point, we've made no decisions. We're not moving forward with these transactions, but we are communicating to you that this is, you know, depending on where and on how long the market conditions last, and depending on where we see the company's need for cash over the next year and a half. I think this is an important degree of flexibility we wanted to communicate a little more detail on to the investor base. So with that, let me hand over to John Nelson for his commentary.
Okay, thanks, Doug. Well, as Doug has reflected, and same with our competition, obviously the market is soft and projected to remain that way. However, you know, we continue to push ahead with new technology programs, and we are working hard to maintain and gain share. It's a difficult market to know in terms of specifics of market share, but based on what I see from the competition in terms of quarter on quarter, I believe we're holding our own. You can see that our test revenue Q2 to Q1 was essentially flat. Test is a key focus for us, and assembly was down probably around 5%. So the investments that we're making are linked in with testers, wafer-level CSP. We still see reasonable utilization of these assets. While the analog market remains soft, you know, we'll limit our investment in that area. We are investing more in IT infrastructure. You know, those of you who have been following us for a while, we are in the process of integrating the companies that historically have been running independently. So we have some R&D projects as well that we're starting to ramp up and see success with customers. In particular, we have a copper clip technology that we're bringing into the company. We've been working on this technology for a year. We've now engaged with two large North American IDMs to give us support while we ramp. That will be a turnkey business. So, as you know, the industry went from gold wire to copper wire, and for power applications, in order to improve the thermal and electrical performance, they actually use a piece of copper to clip. And that would be something that would be going into many of the computing applications and many of the power management applications, including automotive. So we've seen success. We've been working on this for a couple of years. Another technology, GQFN. We're first in the industry with routable QFN technology. We've engaged with three new customers, all fairly large. Two are fabless, and one is in large IDM. They see this. So, again, an opportunity for us to grow ahead of the market. MEMS is another area that we've been working on for two and a half years. We had three wins, one with a very large European customer who have in-house capability, and then two with fabless companies. Capability for MEMS includes testing, which is sort of a niche type of business, which suits our business model, where we're looking at acceleration and, you know, magnetic fields, etc. We also have a MEMS pressure center, pressure sensor win that we had. So in terms of the technology, I think that, you know, we've been investing, you know, time and energy and a limited amount of capital. We're starting to see some benefits of that over the last 3 years. Looking at our customer base, the, you know, we obviously, like everyone else, saw a decline in communications. And that was sort of significant and very much in line with the competition. And just scanning through the rest of the customers, our memory business, which is considerably smaller than it was, our DRAM business was actually up. We have one large customer working on NAND flash. we saw a quarter-on-quarter decline with them, and we believe that is likely to continue. Although the DRAM part of our business seems to be strong.